Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Hello and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're happy to have you here with us today, and I'm Elder David Wise. I'm the pastor at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi, and my partner and compadre in this radio ministry is Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, and we hope our time together today will be a blessing to you. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can go to our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can email us at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. From our website, you can find a link to our iTunes podcast, and you can catch up on our past messages. If you don't live in the North Mississippi area, if you do, we'd love to have you come see us at Sulphur Springs or Macedonia, but if you don't live in that area, we also have links to a church directory and a Google Maps listing of the Primitive Baptist churches all throughout the U.S., so you can check that out. But if you are in the North Mississippi area, particularly in the Golden Triangle region, we cordially invite you to come see us at either Sulphur Springs, they're at 40283 Wolf Road on Caledonia, Mississippi, and us at Macedonia, we're at 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, a little north of Ackerman. And we both meet for worship every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m., and we also have a joint worship service in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn beginning at 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. And we'd love to have you come out and worship with us. We attempt to worship in the simplicity that we see in the New Testament scriptures, with simply singing, praying, and preaching, and fellowship with our kindred in Christ. And we hope that if you come and see us, we can make you feel welcome as a part of the body of Christ, to where hopefully you'll have a mind to come back and see us again. This morning on the radio program, we'd like to continue in Luke chapter 1, looking at the birth of John the Baptist from that chapter. So you can be turning there if you have your Bibles ready this morning, and we'll bring the message to you right after this song. Stay tuned with us today. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 1. In prior weeks, we considered the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist to his parents Zacharias and Elizabeth, as Gabriel gave that announcement to Zacharias as he was in the temple. And then he came home and spent time with his wife Elizabeth, and they conceived. And now Elizabeth had hid herself for 5 months after this, and right around that same time, in the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel goes up to Nazareth and announces to a young lady named Mary that she will be the mother of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And we left off this chapter here last time in verse 38 as the angel departed from Mary after he gave this announcement of the upcoming birth of Jesus Christ. And Mary seemingly immediately goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, because Gabriel had also told her, as a confirmation to hopefully embolden her belief in God's power, to allow her to conceive being a virgin, which was certainly impossible with man. Gabriel had notified Mary that Elizabeth had conceived a son in her old age, and it was the sixth month with her, the 6 months since her conception. And she was previously called barren. And since Elizabeth had hidden herself for 5 months, this was not public knowledge yet, but Gabriel lets her know about it. And then it says in verse 39 of Luke chapter 1 that Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. So it seems that Mary almost immediately goes to see Elizabeth. And you can just imagine, she has her family member that she's found out that is old and most likely given up on the possibility of being able to have children. And then she's told by Gabriel that Elizabeth's going to have a son. She was excited, right? She wanted to go see her cousin, Elizabeth. And it says that she went with haste. She went almost immediately. Now what we're going to find is, by the time that she shows up in her journey from Nazareth down to the hill country of Judah, that by that time, she is expecting a child. So it seems that this was a very quick turnaround, maybe just a couple days from when Gabriel gave her this announcement to when she arrived at the house of Elizabeth. But by that time, regardless of how long it was, between verse 38 and verse 40, that was when the Holy Ghost came and conceived Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary, because she was expecting by the time she showed up at Elizabeth's house. So now she comes into the house of Elizabeth, and it came to pass in verse 41 that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, speaking of John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her of the Lord." We've seen from earlier in the chapter how godly of a woman Elizabeth was, and as Mary enters into her home, she is filled with the Holy Ghost and she prophesies. Elizabeth is speaking of some things that there's no way that she could have known about apart from the Holy Spirit giving her that knowledge. First of all, notice she was excited about this. She spoke with a loud voice. She got excited about what she was about to talk about. And she says to Mary, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." Now, Mary had not talked, most likely, to anybody about this. I mean, could you imagine trying to have that conversation with somebody? It wasn't until she was already at least 3 months along till she had that conversation with Joseph, her espoused husband, and explaining to him that the Holy Ghost had conceived a child in her womb. So she had not told anybody about this, but notice Elizabeth knows that she's got some fruit in her womb. "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She knew that she was expecting. How did Elizabeth know that? Because she was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just like how Gabriel notified Mary of a pregnancy that nobody else knew about, the Holy Ghost also notified Elizabeth about this. Because Mary, I can almost guarantee you, had not told anybody about this, probably only a couple days removed from Gabriel announcing it to her, going down into Elizabeth's house with haste. And she hadn't talked to anybody about this, but Elizabeth shows up and says, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Not only did Elizabeth know by the Holy Ghost that Mary was expecting, but Elizabeth knew that she was the mother of my Lord. Elizabeth was certainly a child of God, but she understood through the prophecy of the Holy Ghost here that Mary was carrying her Lord, that she was carrying her God. She understood in some miraculous way that her Lord, Jehovah God, was in the womb of her cousin that had just walked in the door. How about that? And not only did Elizabeth have this knowledge that Jehovah God was residing within Mary, even though nobody else knew about it, all right? Not only did Elizabeth know that, but John the Baptist in her womb knew that. In verse 44, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. This child that is 6 months removed from conception and 3 months removed from a natural birth leaped in the womb of his mother for joy. And joy, we know from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, is a fruit of the Spirit. So that is an evidence that John the Baptist is already born again at this point. And that shouldn't be a surprise to us, because Gabriel had already told Zacharias in his initial prophecy of the birth of John the Baptist in the first chapter here in Luke in verse 15, that he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And he exhibits that evidence of the Holy Spirit because he leapt in Elizabeth's womb for joy. But how did Elizabeth know that this babe was leaping for joy? Mothers feel their children move around all the time. They kick and they move, and they might even be considered to leap from time to time, moving around a good bit. And what made this different, this action that John the Baptist did in the womb of Elizabeth, what made this different from a regular kick or a regular motion that would be normal in the course of a pregnancy, especially during this time being 6 months along? See, the Holy Spirit revealed to Elizabeth the reason for this leaping by the babe that was in her womb. How did she know the reason why her child was moving in her womb the way that he did? The Holy Spirit told her about that. The Holy Spirit told Elizabeth that immediately when Mary announced, when she walked into the room, she felt that babe move and leap in her womb, and the Holy Spirit revealed to her that that babe was leaping for joy. She had no way of knowing the intentions or the emotions of this child apart from the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. And this is evidence, again, with joy being a fruit of the Spirit, that John the Baptist is already born again. And this is one of the most important examples for us to know that the child of God, regardless of what time the Lord sees fit to call his children by his grace, he can call them in the womb of their mothers before they have even been born into this natural world around us, where they still reside in the womb of his mother. Because this is a child that is exhibiting joy. And furthermore, this is a child that is exhibiting emotion. And first of all, we want to take note that God is not hindered in borning again his children prior to their natural birth. But before we consider that, I also want you to notice that this child, and it was a child, had emotion in the womb of his mother. And I just want to simply and plainly say this morning that abortion, in whatever form it takes, is murder. It's no different than you walking up and stabbing somebody or shooting somebody in cold-blooded murder. Abortion is murder. And anyone that tries to portray a child in the womb thing as just some type of scientific stage, and it's a fetus or it's an embryo and all this, this child at 6 months of age was able to have cognitive thought and emotion to recognize the voice when something occurred. This child was aware of events that were happening outside the womb of his mother. He was aware of events that were happening in the world around him, and one of those events triggered an emotion of joy in the heart of this born-again babe still in his womb, John the Baptist. And so anyone that tries to portray someone who has not yet been born as just a fetus or an embryo and just a scientific status, no, this is a child that was aware of the circumstances around him, was aware of external things that were happening outside the womb around him, and he responded to those things that were happening in the world around him with an emotion while he was still in the womb of his mother, and that emotion was joy, because he had an understanding that even though Jesus in the womb of Mary was possibly only just a few days after conception, John the Baptist, even in the womb of his mother, understood the same thing that Elizabeth understood, that this is my Lord. And I tell you, that made him happy. That made that babe that was in the womb of his mother happy, and he leaped for joy. And I tell you, if there's a babe that doesn't understand the full gospel, that doesn't understand so many things in the world around him, but just from him hearing the salutation of Jesus' mother, if he's jumping up and down in the womb of his mother for joy, I tell you, how much more happy and joyous should we be that we understand the full gospel message of what Jesus did, and we have the full cognitive ability to understand it that John didn't have yet at this time. he had joy, and he was happy when he heard about Jesus Christ, that he showed up. And certainly we should have that same type of excitement and joy when we hear the message of the gospel today. I want to make sure that we understand that this babe that was 6 months old after conception was experiencing emotion in the womb of his mother, and any child that is murdered by abortion is not a lesser being that doesn't have cognitive ability. They have just as much ability to experience joy and the fruit and the joy of the Holy Spirit as anyone else. And this also gives us hope, though, that even though it is an unfortunate reality, a grieving reality in America, that abortion is legal, the ability to just kill and slaughter innocent children is readily accepted and legal here in this country. In spite of that, because of Elizabeth speaking by the Holy Ghost and letting us know about the joy that was John the Baptist in her womb, we have a hope and a confidence that God can born his children again and make them ready for heaven and eternal glory by imparting his Spirit unto them at any given time, even before they might be murdered by the act of abortion. And we also see other instances in Scripture where young infants and possibly even those in the womb exhibit the evidences of being born again. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, he says, speaking of himself, he said, that before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Before Jeremiah was even born, the Lord had sanctified him and knew him. And David said in Psalm chapter 22 that he was made to hope when he was upon his mother's breast, and thou art my God from my mother's belly. So it seems that David may have been born again in his mother's womb, since it says that thou art my God from my mother's belly. But at a minimum, David had hope when he was a nursing infant upon his mother's breast. And then we have evidence that the 7-day-old child from David that passed away in a tragic way due to the sin of David, that David had a hope and a confidence that he was in heaven and that he would see him again. So we see evidences in Scripture of those that prior to their birth, and certainly as young, even nursing infants, give evidence of regeneration and evidence that God has already been born again. And it's very important to understand, though, if that is the case, which it certainly is. Scripture supports it, and there's no case that's more lock solid, in my opinion, than John the Baptist. We were told that he was going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, and he exhibited joy in his womb, which is a fruit of the Spirit, which lets us know beyond a shadow of a doubt, based on the authority of Scripture, that he was born again at this 6 months of age period, 3 months prior to his natural birth. Now, what's important about that is that John the Baptist is not the exception, okay? He was born again the same way that every other child of God is born again. And that is by the sovereign, immediate action of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of the dead alien sinner. In John chapter 3 and in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, some people that want to place conditions upon salvation, you've got to hear, believe, accept, repent, baptize, hold on the way, and live godly, etc., etc. Whatever condition you try to place upon man that is necessary for eternal salvation, there is no child in the womb of his mother that can meet that condition. And many people, to try to alleviate this problem with bad theology, they've came up with the age of accountability, that before a certain period of time, you're not accountable and you just go straight to heaven. Well, I just want to make sure that you understand that there is no indication, no reference, no anything to the age of accountability in Scripture. And God is not going to treat any person differently in the bar of his divine justice, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Original sin is imparted to every single descendant of Adam. By the way, that's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin and conceived of the Holy Ghost. But John the Baptist was not exempt from that. He was born of two sinners, Zacharias and Elizabeth, and he was in need of salvation, just like every other grown and mature person was in need of salvation. But he did not meet a condition to do that. He was born again by the sovereign wind of the Holy Spirit blowing on him. And we're told from John chapter 3 and verse 8 that every single child of God is born again in the exact same way. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that is such a crucial doctrinal point, because every single person that doesn't meet some unscriptural condition of salvation has no possibility of being in heaven. And I guarantee you, whatever condition, because the age of accountability is fictional and unscriptural, and we'll just leave it at that, and we won't consider it any further, because there's no need to. So we exclude totally the age of accountability, and then we have every single person that doesn't meet that condition of salvation going to hell and being condemned forever. John the Baptist didn't meet that condition. So how was he born again? He was born again because the Holy Spirit came and indwelled in him by the immediate and direct and personal regeneration of God speaking life into his dead alien sinner heart. Even though he was only 6 months of age after conception, he was still a sinner. He was conceived in sin, just like David was. And also, just like David, he was born again in his mother's womb. So John the Baptist was not able to meet any man-made or man-imposed unscriptural conditions for eternal salvation, but instead he met the only condition of salvation, and that is that God loved him before the foundation of the world, and God sent his Holy Spirit into him by the sovereign and immediate work of the Holy Spirit, giving him life in the new birth. And now, that had happened prior to this moment, so when he hears the voice of the mother of his Lord just showing up in the room, he leaps in the womb of his mother for joy. And Elizabeth says to Mary, "Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her by the Lord." This is another thing that Elizabeth knew about that she had no way of knowing about. Apparently, she clearly knew that the Lord had told her some stuff. And it also seems that Elizabeth had an understanding that Mary maybe wasn't fully believing and fully trusting what the Lord had told her. And she says, "You believe and you have confidence that there shall be a performance of the things which were told her of the Lord." I mean, look at all these things that Elizabeth knew about and she had no way of knowing apart from the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gave her in this moment. It's amazing, amazing that she had knowledge not only that her Savior was in the womb of her cousin, but she even had knowledge of the specific emotion that her child had in her womb as Mary walked into the room. And what's Mary's response to this amazing prophecy by Elizabeth, telling her things that there's no way that she could have known? Mary says, beginning in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. This portion of scripture by Mary is known as the Magnificat, which is Latin for what she said in verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You know, worship is not just an external thing that we do for show. Worship should be coming from the soul. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Think about John in the womb of his mother. It was his soul that was leaping in his womb for joy. He didn't have cognitive understanding of what was occurring, but his soul knew what was going on, and his soul leaped for joy. Our worship and service to God should not just be skin deep. It should be soul deep. It should come from the soul. And not only is her soul magnifying and exalting the Lord, but in verse 47, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Think about this knowledge that Mary had at this moment, that she was carrying not only the Son of God, that's amazing, but she was carrying her Savior. "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." She felt herself to be a sinner, and even though this child is only a few days old in her womb, she understood by the Holy Spirit that this is my Savior. I mean, can you imagine that thought process? That the man who is going to come, who is God manifest in the flesh, who's going to die for my sins, is within me. He's in my womb. My Savior is in my womb. What an amazing experience that Mary must have had here. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. Mary and Joseph were very poor. Joseph was a carpenter, and obviously he wasn't a rich carpenter. When they made the sacrifice at Jesus' circumcision when he was 8 days old, they brought a pair of turtle doves, and that's the poor person's sacrifice. They can't afford a lamb or a sheep that was customary in the law. So they were very poor, but God had looked down upon the low estate of his handmaid, and she says, "From henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And certainly that's the case. Gabriel had told her that as soon as he showed up to give her this admonition. And we'll just read back through the rest of Mary's exclamation of praise unto the Lord. There's some very good lessons here, but we don't have time to really dig into them. So beginning here in verse 49, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." I hope this message this morning gives us the same joy that John the Baptist had in the womb of his mother, and makes us say, as Mary the mother of Jesus said in response to all this, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." I hope we want to magnify the name of God today. I hope we want to rejoice in God my Savior. You know, these are people that only had a limited knowledge of what was occurring here. We can look back by the inspiration of the Holy Scriptures and see the beginnings of the life of Jesus Christ here in these passages, but we can also look forward to his death and what he accomplished on the cross. They did not have the full knowledge that we have, and look how happy they were about it. Look at the joy that a babe, even in the womb of his mother, had. And Mary was magnifying the Lord from her soul and from her spirit. I hope that we can have that same type of response to the glad tidings and the great news, not just good news, but I tell you, this is great news, that a Savior had come into the world, and we can rejoice in God my Savior today, just like Mary did here as she went into the home of her cousin Elizabeth all the way back in first century Judea. We're thankful to have you with us here on the program this morning, and we hope you can come back and spend some time with us next week. And until that time, we pray the Lord will richly bless you.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus.